Message today is a kind of an offshoot of last week. I'm going to talk about the will of God. I'm going to put the first scripture up. We saw this last week. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think we can all agree that the Lord's will isn't always being done on earth as it is in heaven. There are a lot of reasons for that. We would love to see the Lord's will being done on earth. But you look around, not to be negative, but you look around and you see all these things happen. The violence, the hatred, turmoil, worry, anxiety. It's easy to wonder what's going on. Why isn't the Lord's will being done on earth? Well, there are a lot of people who don't believe in God, first off. And if you don't believe in God, you don't care what His will is, do you? It's the way it is. There's a lot of people like that, unfortunately. Not interested in God, and even if they do believe that God exists, they're not that interested in getting to know Him or what He wants, what He's all about. They just kind of think that He's off someplace just doing His thing and not paying much attention to what's going on here. Because again, they look around and see the same things that we do. And they wonder, well, if God exists, where is He? Why isn't He fixing all this stuff? Of course, they don't understand why things are the way they are and why He is allowing some of these things to happen. There are a lot of times we don't understand either. But we just have to trust Him that He knows what He's doing and He has reasons for everything. But, like I said, there are a lot of people that, you know, I said, even if they believe God exists, think that He's off someplace and doesn't even know who we are. A lot of people think that. Does God know I exist? Does God know my name? Of course He does. But they just don't realize it because they don't have the relationship with Him. They're not open to seeking God, to finding out what He's all about. But that's people that don't believe in Him. Or if they do, they're not interested. What about us? What about the church? What about the house of God, His people, the body of Christ? Can we honestly say that the will of God is being done through each and every one of us or through the church in general? Sometimes. But I think a lot of times we're missing the boat just as well. Why isn't His will being done? Well, I think first off, we don't know what His will is a lot of times. That's one of the questions that we're always asking. Lord, what is your will? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be? What's my mission in life? Or what are you turning me into? What are you changing me into as you go about conforming me to the image of Christ? That's one of the questions. And I think that's one of the reasons why we find it difficult to do the will of God and why we're not making more of an impact. We don't know what He wants to do, wants us to do. So that's a big part of the problem. How do we find out what the will of God is? Well, there must be a way, right? He's not going to leave us just wandering around in the wilderness, not understanding or not knowing what He wants. So let's begin to see. First off, from Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, you can take that literally, being destroyed, or you can just take it as meaning we're harmed, we're damaged, we suffer. Maybe sickness, financial distress, relational distresses, whatever. One of the reasons we go through a lot of things is because we don't know something. A lot of things we go through are, in a sense, our own fault because of the choices we make. The wrong choices or you know, we want to make the right choice, but we don't know what to do, and we have to do something, so we just go in a certain direction, and a lot of times it's the wrong one. But what kind of knowledge is being talked about here? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Is he talking about like math and science and history and things like that? No. That's not the kind of knowledge. I mean, that knowledge is important, it's helpful. There's nothing wrong with it. But is that the kind of knowledge that is going to save us from being destroyed or harmed in some way? Maybe in a few cases, but by and large, no. The kind of knowledge that's being talked about here is spiritual knowledge. Not the kind of knowledge you get from a textbook or from a teacher in school or somebody else, a mentor. The kind of knowledge that's being talked about here is spiritual. And there are only certain places you can get that kind of knowledge from. Because what's real, more real than this world that we live in, is the spiritual world. Because all of this is going to disappear someday. God created this out of nothing, and at some point in time, it's going to disappear. There's going to be new heavens and a new earth. What's real is the spiritual world in which God lives. Because we're going to live in that world someday. But right now, we're living in this world. So any knowledge that pertains to God and that spiritual world is what's important to us. We know that Satan is our enemy. He's a spiritual being. And all the demons of hell and everything are spiritual beings, and they hate us. They are constantly working against us and trying to harm us and mislead us and deceive us. As Candy was talking about, there's so much deceit in the world today. So many lies. It's getting hard to understand what to believe, because they're coming from all sides, all these lies. And Satan's behind all that. He's the real enemy. The real enemy is in the spiritual world. We need to have some spiritual knowledge to try and understand how to fight against that, how to resist it, how to live successfully. We need that spiritual knowledge. Okay. Now, this is from Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? This is relating to the types of sacrifices and offerings that were given back in biblical days. But it applies today, just the terms would be different. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Is that really what God's looking for? Is he really looking for us to give of our substance to him? I mean, is that really the most important thing? Is that what he wants from us? No, not really. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? To do justly simply means to do the right thing, like I talked about last week, when you're faced with a choice. About denying yourself and your own wants and desires, the self-satisfaction, thinking of self, 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 but rather do the right thing, which may also benefit you in some way. But the point is, do the right thing. And that's what doing justly means. God looks for us to do the right thing. That's more important to him than any money we could give, any time we could spend helping somebody else. Those things are important. But they're not the most important things, because when you do these things, everything else follows. Okay? So, do justly, doing the right thing, to love mercy. How many of us love mercy? We say we do. But when somebody does something wrong to you, how do you feel about that person? You want to get even? Is that your reaction? Maybe you see something happening on TV, somebody committing a heinous crime, or you see all this violence. Does that stir you up? Did you get so angry that you want, the only thing you want is for those people to be punished? Is that the way you feel? A lot of times that's probably the way we do feel. I think it's only natural. Yeah, maybe it's a coworker or a boss. Something like that. Could be. But I think that's our natural human reaction. We want to see them pay for what they've done. That's not really mercy. Mercy would say, yes, there's justice must be served. There are consequences to our actions. There should be consequences to everybody else's actions. But can we in our hearts pray for those people? Genuinely pray with concern that they be saved, that the Lord touches their heart. Whether it's somebody that hates us, whether it's somebody from the other political party, whether it's somebody else in a relationship, somebody that has betrayed us. No matter what the situation, can we honestly look at that person with compassion and love as Jesus did and say, Lord, please touch that person. Please bless that person in a way that they get to know you so they can be saved too. That's showing mercy as well as other things too, compassion and love. Rather than always wanting to either lash out ourselves or for somebody to make them pay. That's how he wants us to show mercy, though. Pray for people. Pray for our enemies, those who do us harm or someone else harm. Pray for them. So do the right thing. Show mercy. To walk humbly with your God. Well, with humility. Walk humbly with your God. It's to have humility. How do you have humility with God? First off, you recognize that he's the creator and we're the created beings. He is so much higher than us. We're down here. He's way, way up there. You know, we may be the highest form of life on this earth. The animals are under us, the insects, everything. You know, we're the highest form of life. But some people look at that and they become arrogant. They think there's something. There's somebody special. Maybe you're a celebrity. Maybe a powerful politician. Who knows? And because of that, they get puffed up, prideful, arrogant. It's easy. Even for people like us. Maybe God uses us in a special way. And we see a blessing that someone else receives because God used us. It's easy to become puffed up and think, oh, wow, God chose me. I'm special. No. God just chose you. Not because you're special, but just because he loves you and he chose you. That's all. So we need to recognize who we are, in Christ. Yes, we are lowly beings, but we are elevated in Christ, raised up to new heights. But we need to be careful, always recognizing that it's only because of God in choosing us and drawing us and welcoming us into his family that we are where we are and who we are. We're not deserving. We always need to remember that. Walk humbly with our God. Remember who we are and who he is. And we are his instruments. But yet we are loved beyond measure. Well, that's the humility part. But walking with God, I truly believe that he wants to walk with us in a similar manner that he walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because Scripture says he walked with them daily. They walked with him. They were together. I think that's the kind of relationship God wants with us, each one of us, that we're walking with him daily. We may not be in the Garden of Eden, but we can still walk with him daily. And I think that's a very important aspect of our lives and his desire and his will for us, to walk with him and talk with him. Just be with him. Our God is a God of relationships. If he didn't want relationship, he wouldn't have made it possible for us to be part of his family. He wouldn't have made it possible for us to hear his voice or to feel his love. He's a God of relationships, and that's what he wants. I think that's one of the same things that we all want. We want to have a relationship with at least somebody else, a very close, loving relationship with someone else. God designed it that way. But that's an example, an earthly example, of what he wants it to be like between him and each of us individually. To have that kind of relationship with him. But walking with God and walking humbly. So those three things, to do the right thing, to love mercy, praying for people, helping them, loving your enemies, whatever, loving everybody, really, and walking humbly with your God. And then lastly, from Amos 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? God wants to walk with us, but can you walk together with anybody unless you're agreed? It's kind of hard, isn't it? If you're on opposite sides of the fence, you have two different belief systems, different, some other types of differences that cause, you know, this kind of thing happening. It's kind of hard to walk closely with somebody like that, right? Just think of a best friend that you've had maybe growing up or even now. Why is that person your best friend? Because you're like this, right? You understand each other. You agree with each other on so many things. You like a lot of the same things. You do a lot of the same things together. You like to spend time with each other because you enjoy each other's company. You have feelings one for another. Strong friendship or love. In order to truly walk together, you need to be agreed on a lot of things. God wants us to walk with him. Well, we need to be agreed with him in a lot of things. How do we get to be in that kind of state of agreement with God? Well, we read his word, right? We listen to messages. We fellowship with one with another. Whether it's Sunday school, Bible study, other things. You learn as much as you can about him. But there's a big difference. And this goes back to the spiritual knowledge thing. There's a big difference between learning about something or somebody and truly knowing that person. I can read the Bible, I can listen to other people tell me about God, and I can learn a lot about him. But the only way I'll get to truly know him is to spend time with him. Just like any friend or even family member that you might have. You can know a lot about them, but unless you spend time with them, you'll never get to know them. To know their likes, their dislikes, to know what they desire in life. That's the same way with God. The more time you spend with Him, walking with Him, the more in agreement you get with Him, the more you know Him, the more you will be able to know His likes and dislikes, the more you'll be able to understand His will, the more time you spend with Him. All these things will start to become a little bit clearer as you spend that time with Him. And I know I've talked about this a lot of times. Spending time in the Word, spending time with God, alone time, that special time, finding some quiet time during the day where you can just be alone, uninterrupted, spending time with God. I've talked about it so many times. And maybe you're tired of hearing it, but it is so important. And God has wanted me to continue to stress that, because that's His desire. That's His desire for you. He knows everything there is to know about you, but He wants you to know more about Him. And that's the only way. He desires to reveal Himself to you, not only just His will, but to reveal Himself in ways that perhaps maybe you can't understand at this point in time. He wants to show you who He really is. We know so much about Him, but not nearly as much as far as knowing Him, knowing who He is, who truly is. But that's His desire. There's only one way. And I think because of the times that we're living in, and we're seeing signs around us that just maybe the time is getting short. And if that is the case, then it's really critical that we get to know Him like never before. Because if persecution comes, and we see signs of it, we see signs of it all around us, persecution of Christians. If that truly comes here, like it's starting to, we really need to know our God, not just know about Him. We need to know Him, know how we can depend on Him, know how we can receive from Him, how we can be blessed by Him and helped, and how we can endure whatever we might have to go through. That's why it's so important that we know Him. And that's the only way that we can know what His will is. And as we learn more about Him and His will and what He desires for us, the more we can accomplish for Him, the more people we'll see saved, the more things we'll see happen in this church and in this town of Walworth. There could be big things just around the corner. Just like that one scripture that I shared with you on New Year's Day. Forget the past. I'm paraphrasing. Forget the past. I'm doing a new thing. Don't you know it? Can't you see it? I'm doing a new thing. He wants us to see it. He wants us to believe it. He wants us to be part of it, whatever it is. We're all here for a reason. Each one of us has been chosen to be here at this point in time, in this church, in these pews, for a reason. God has plans for us. Don't look around and say, oh, we're so small. We serve a big God, and He's awesome, and nothing is impossible for Him. And He wants us to start believing that and thinking that way And like Jerome was sharing, ask. And like I shared too on New Year's, he wants us to ask for bigger things, to believe for bigger things. But it's important for us to first get to know him better so we can better understand his will, so we can be more perfectly obedient, and that's when we'll see all these things happen. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us so much. And thank you for drilling into us, Lord, not only the fact that you love us so much, but that you desire us to be walking with you every single day, learning more of who you are and just how much you care for us and what you're willing to do for us and through us. There's so much to you, Lord. We're only maybe scratching the surface of who you are, but you desire to reveal yourself to us. We desire that too, Lord. We want to know you like never before. Open our eyes and our understanding and help us to have the diligence, Lord, to do the things that are necessary to know you better. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.